In our studies on everyday problems, I've enjoyed reading the opening paragraphs of each booklet just to set the stage so you can have an understanding of what the author is trying to deal with. This is by a man named John Miller. It's titled Dealing with Rejection, How to Respond to Deep Hurt. Do you know what that is? What the sign is there on the front?
Pistols firing?
It's not pistols firing. The kids know better than the adults. What is it? Yeah. It's the letter L, the sign language letter L that is often made either in jest or seriously to talk about those that are losers. And we're going to talk about dealing with rejection. Here's the opening introduction. I can't forget what she has done to me. For 40 years, I've rejected all negative thoughts. But this hurt goes so deep, my mind is filled with anger, and I can't get rid of it. That was a quote, and this is a response. Are you bitter too? I asked, and waited for Mary to answer as we sat in her living room. Yes, she replied slowly. I can't seem to stop it. My religion has taught me that negative thoughts are not real and must be kept out of the mind, but it hurts too much to stop thinking about it. In her late 60s, Mary was the picture of a gentle grandmother. I had met her through a member of our church. She had seen the sorry on Mary's face while standing in a supermarket checkout line and began a conversation with her. After she heard Mary's story, she asked me to visit her. Now the pain in her heart poured out of her mouth. Susan, her daughter-in-law, had completely rejected her. Her son had married Susan later in life, and the latter was jealous with the close relationship between Mary and her son. Gradually, Susan had turned the son against the mother, and this past week, her daughter-in-law had said to her, "You are no longer welcome in our home." "Not even to visit," Mary grieved, "and my son has agreed to this." This blow had shattered Mary's strong-held religious convictions. She had always believed that evil and sin were mirages to be rejected. But now she had to admit that she had seen evil operating in the life of her daughter-in-law. She felt strongly that Susan had done a great wrong to her. The memory of that offense could not be forgotten. Now Mary was appalled to discover that her bitter feelings against Susan were coming to dominate her thought life. What do you do when you've been deeply hurt by another person? What should Mary do? That's the introduction to this. I imagine that you have each either experienced or witnessed some type of deep hurt in your own life or in the lives of your friends. Today what I want to do is to talk about three of the three sinful responses to this type of hurt. And if there's time, begin to get into a biblical response to this type of hurt. But I have more than enough material for today, so we'll break it up into two sessions. Let me ask you, what are some sinful responses that you might take when you are offended in this way? What does that look like? Mm-hmm.
Silent treatment.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, what does that look like? But it's self-evident.
He wouldn't answer.
Those are the two major categories of responses. Miller gives a third that I'll come to here in just a moment. Let me just go ahead and launch into those. I think revenge is a good word for the response that we most often like to take when we're offended. We want to get even. In the case of Mary in the booklet, there are a variety of ways that she could have responded to get revenge or to get even. She could say things back that are hurtful. She could start a campaign of emails or phone calls that are equally hurtful and damaging to her daughter-in-law and to her son, and carry out a revenge like that. She could begin to meet on the sly with the son and turn his heart against his wife. So a variety of different responses. And you might be able to, again, look at your own life and say, I've taken that path myself. I've taken that path. I have spoken in anger and in return. I've tried to get revenge. How did that work out for you? Whether you did it yourself or if you've observed it in someone else, how did the revenge tactic work for you?
Made things worse.
Think you ever get? Can you feel like you have gotten them back to the extent of the deep hurt you feel? The only way to be satisfied is in the forgiveness. Won't ever be at peace, but it's, you see it in shows, and even small encounters with other people.
But
revenge is definitely the first direction.
Yeah. It never satisfies and it never ends. Is that what you're getting at, Sam?
Well, it doesn't make anyone happy. It only continues to kind of fester inside of yourself. It makes the other person more angry, and two angry people can make more angry people out of those that they're just kind of the splatter effect.
Also the fact that, you know, you go for that and this person, you know, who probably, you know, justifies her behavior in the mind at least, who sees your attempted revenge as more justification for having treated you that way. See, that's the kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think in the end, even if you were to exact enough revenge to kill the other person, so, you know, you can dismiss all the ancillary effects of what they might think about me later, what they might do in response, or how they might, well, I'll just kill them. I mean, that solves that problem. Then there's no other fallout of what they're going to think. But the problem is, revenge doesn't replace what was lost.
Mm.
And that lack of satisfaction comes from missing something that was stolen or... However the wrong came to be, that's not coming back through revenge.
Mm-hmm. So revenge is not the path. How about the silent treatment, or what Miller calls suppressing your anger? Let's describe that a little bit more as well. Before you do that, I'll remind you that it is appropriate for overlooking minor offenses and letting love cover a multitude of sins, and that's not what this is. Maybe in your answers you can tell me why this is different.
I'd like to make a change in definition. I think the silent treatment would fall with the revenge category.
Okay.
The pressing of the emotions is, you know, slightly different. It may involve a little more silence because you're trying to suppress and you're not talking, but it's very different. Where silent treatment is a very deliberate act against the individual.
That's interesting because Miller makes a similar point. He says this is actually is another form of attack. It's just maybe more subtle or passive than the active act of revenge.
Or suppressing emotions, you may not be attacking the other person. You may say, okay, I am going to give, I'm just going to suppress, I'm just going to... Punch, but...
The silent treatment is very definitely an act against that person. I'm going to punish you for what you've done to me, and I'm going to punish you this way. I'm not going to deal with you, I'm not going to respond to you. You may even come to me in repentance, but I'm not going to do it. I will not respond to you, and that is an aggressive revenge act as well. How would you define the dividing line there? What's the difference?
Well, you're not letting go of it.
Yeah.
You're not allowing forgiveness to be there. You're still festering it.
Yeah. Yeah, that really is the point, that if you cling to that sin, if you have not forgiven it, if you forgive, then the silence rises out of the fact that there is no longer an offense between you, and it's not that you're not speaking about some offense, it's because there's no more offense, you've forgiven that. But if you're not speaking about the offense or giving someone the silent treatment, then you're clinging to that and using it as a weapon.
Commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. How in the world are you going to do that with the silent treatment? I think the silent treatment would be a temptation. So I can see the temptation in that, but because you wouldn't want to say mean things to them, you don't want to make the problem worse. You could tempt yourself to go silent for that reason. But to love your neighbor as you love yourself, to treat them with a level of respect in which you interact with the problem, to deal with it so that the relationship can continue on.
Yeah. And that's the hard part sometimes, but it has much better fruit out of it. These sinful responses just fester and get worse and worse. In fact, I like the way that Miller describes it. When you suppress an emotion or you suppress an evil, it doesn't get rid of the hurt. You still keep being hurt. And he says that when you push them aside or push them deeper, that those offenses are there to cook and brew all kinds of unpleasant odors in the basement of the soul, which will later come drifting up to the living room of life.
Sounds like our house.
Have you ever had a dead mouse somewhere in the house and you just can't find it? You know that it's there, as you can smell it. That's the way it is with this type of dealing with a hurt. That you just let it rot and it stinks and it flavors the whole house. The third one that Miller speaks of is what he calls rising above it. And I'll just briefly say that that might sound like the way to go, and it's often suggested that, well, you just rise above it. It's in the definition of biblical forgiveness, the idea of rising above it does not carry a biblical forgiveness that we'll have to look at next week. Rising above it really is just kind of a dressed up, sanitized version of suppression. And the problem with this is it never recognizes that dangerous spiral of not dealing biblically with hurt. and it doesn't solve the problem of a real wrong that's been committed. You can paint a smiley face on a dead mouse for a little while, but it still smells as bad. How's that for an image to think about this week? So we're going to talk about forgiveness next week, and we'll come to a biblical response and look at what the scriptures say about letting love cover, but also about how to address a hurt that can't be forgiven. Yep.
In the illustration given, Mary should be encouraged to see if she has done anything to offend, and seek forgiveness there, but continue to love. I mean, she has to respect what their wishes are, but there was no discussion about, well, maybe she has been offensive and trying to cling to the son when he's in a new relationship is not healthy, maybe. There's some self-examination going to that.
You must have read ahead in Miller's booklet. It's a very appropriate part of a biblical response is you examine yourself and see if there's a log in your own eye before you go take the speck out of a brother's. We'll treat that some more next time.